Labas and good afternoon again. This is Kestutis Davidas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And we want to remind you that you can listen to, and all your friends can listen to, and your relatives can listen to, live streaming audio over the internet anywhere in the world at ktym.com.
Naktis tiršta rūka skrodžia traukinys. Toli migloje pažįstama stotis. Kiek metų sapnuose regėdavau aš ją. Ir štai prieš mane tokia pati. Dar 10 ilgų minučių ir perone. Aš vis naiviai tikiuosi išvysti tave. Iš atminties gelmių.
Well, as we mentioned last week, Klojimo teatras iš Punsko, Punsko, which is a sort of the northern part of Poland, has a theater group, and it's a funny theater group with lots of laughs. Of course, you have to understand Lithuanian, but that'll be tonight. And that's tonight at the 18th at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at 8 o'clock in the evening. And in case you haven't been paying attention for the last 25 years, St. Casimir's Parish Hall is at the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets, Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets in the main auditorium. Klojimo teatros iš Punskio. And again, that's tonight at 8 o'clock. Dobilėlis penkialapis, it's called. Dobilėlis penkialapis, it's five-leaf clover. And the donation to get in is $20, and I have been guaranteed that it's going to be funny, and you're going to have a lot of laughs. So, see you tonight at Dobilėlis penkialapis, the five-leaf clover at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at 8 o'clock in the evening. Meantime, it's just a great time to live in Southern California, because even though temperatures here have gotten closer to normal for a change after probably the hottest summer on record, last night it was 31 degrees in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Today it's going to get all the way up to 42, but it's going to drop to 29. Tomorrow's better, 51, then up to 57. Then in the mid-50s and mid-40s for the rest of the week, with temperatures at night touching the freezing zone. So appreciate what you have. I'm going to bring in a few news stories from Lithuania. The Seimas of Lithuania, that's the parliament, does not want to allow EU citizens to establish political parties in Lithuania. Okay, there you go again. I keep talking about this every couple months, something comes up. The EU, the European Union, they don't want the EU establishing any parties in Lithuania. On Thursday, Lithuanian lawmakers voted down proposed amendments to the law on political parties after 41 of the parliamentarians voted in favor, 6 were against, and 26 abstained. The bill was returned for amendment for the second time. The amendments state that political parties unite citizens of Lithuania and EU member states permanently residing in Lithuania for the implementation of common political goals, help to form and express interests and political will of these persons. The amendments were submitted by Justice Minister Juozas Bernatonis, citing EU law. In other words, if you're a citizen of the EU and you move to Lithuania, you can't start your own political party. Now, most of you know what a Litvak is. A Litvak is a Lithuanian Jew. I don't know if it's a word of endearment or not, but that's what they call Lithuanian Jews, Litvaks. Litvak lenses influence sensibilities of Nobel Prize-winning author Nadine Gordimer. Earlier this week, the media honored Nadine Gordimer, a Nobel and Man Booker Prize-winning novelist, with a wealth of obituaries. Gordimer died at the age of 90 on July 13th in her native South Africa. A lot of Lithuanian Jews emigrated to South Africa. Reverend fans and curious new readers peppered social networks with quotations highlighting her defense of human rights and literary bravery in the face of censorship. Gordimer's Lithuanian and Jewish heritage was not entirely clear from the tumble of obituaries detailing her remarkable biography. Yet her Litvak roots gave her a distinct vantage point from which to observe and ultimately help dismantle the allegorical foundation of most of her work, apartheid South Africa. Gordimer was born outside Johannesburg in 1923. Sources agree that her mother was a secular Jewish emigree from London, but the Telegraph, the Guardian, the Irish Independent, and the Jewish Daily Forward, among other publications, reported Gordimer's father was a Latvian watchmaker who moved between Lithuania and Latvia. The BBC, The Washington Post, and The Wall Street Journal led another group which reported Isadora Gordimer was a Lithuanian. Nadine Gordimer's father was, in fact, born in the reign of Tsarist Russia in Žagaira, a northern Lithuanian town bordering Latvia. Anti-Semitism prompted Isadora to migrate north to Riga before his immigration to South Africa. Isadora's disinterest in the oppression of his neighbors, despite suffering persecution himself, is critically reflected in Gordimer's semi-autobiographical 1990 short story, My Father Leaves Home, and she's specifically talking about his disinterest in the oppression of his black neighbors in South Africa. The story, though, set in Lithuania, is one of more than 200 penned by Gordimer since she began writing at the age of 15. Her writing includes 13 novels, volumes of essays, plays, and screenplays, and has been published in over 30 languages. Despite much of Gordimer's early biography being banned in South Africa, she found readers within and beyond her homeland. In his autobiography, The Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela recounted reading smuggled copies of her work that was outlawed in novels in prison. Gordimer's literature is not noted for its politics alone. Her literary peers, including Margaret Atwood, cited her unique and modernist style as an influence on her own work. Still, Gordimer's contribution to the anti-apartheid movement and her literary achievements are inextricable. Her themes consistently centered on the destructive tolls of injustice on oppressor and subjugated alike. A sample of Gordimer's recent work and her obituary for Nelson Mandela can be read. Her writing honored Mandela, written just 7 months before her own death, and is especially poignant today, as has been declared Mandela Day by the United Nations since November 2009. That is, Mandela Day since July 18th, 2009. Well, if you're living in Lithuania, you know the euro is coming and there's going to be a countdown clock. Yep, the clock at the Central Bank of Lithuania will count down to the euro transition. After the EU General Affairs Council adopts the final decision on the adoption of the euro, a countdown timer above the door of the Bank of Lithuania, the official bank on Vilnius Gedimino Avenue, will start counting down to January 1st. It will count down in seconds, minutes, hours, and days to January 1st, 2015, when Lithuania is officially switched to the euro. The timer will be launched immediately after the decision of the General Affairs Council, which is expected this week. Moreover, the countdown timer will remind people of the final conversion rite of the Lithas and the euro, which will be announced by the EU Council this week as well. This rate will be used to calculate wages, pensions, social benefits, tariffs, prices, etc. Lithuania will become the 19th EU member state to actually adopt the euro currency. Not a lot of people are happy about this, but it's coming down.
Mes vėl susitikom po šitiek metų. Mylėti gėja ir tiek daug netekę. Visur įsibarstę, parėjom sugrįžom. Ir vyną aukojam už tos, kurie liko. Už tos, kurie myli, už tos, kurie laukia. Nors niekad ir nieko nėra dar sulaukę. Už tos, kurie kenčia, už tos, kurie išduoda. Už jūpsnį švelnumo ir sauja paguodos.
Well, that was a little more Gytis Paškevičius, who, again, as I mentioned last week, we don't play enough here on the air. He's got great ballads. You're going to love this story. Remember all the stink, you know, all the thing about anti-gay Lithuanians, and Lithuanians don't tolerate homosexuals, and so on and so forth. They don't tolerate lesbians, they don't tolerate gays, no transsexuals. You know, here you go. The United Kingdom's embassy in Vilnius will marry same-sex couples after the government of Lithuania gave its permission. Same-sex marriages are allowed in the UK. The law that is in force in England and Wales, but not Northern Ireland and Scotland, allows gay people to marry in civil ceremonies. The law also stipulates that same-sex marriages can be registered at UK embassies since June 3rd of last year in certain countries, including Lithuania. The fact that the UK embassy in Lithuania is ready to perform ceremonies was confirmed by UK Consul in Lithuania, Martin Cushing. He said only part of UK citizens, that is, representatives of England and Wales, would be able to register same-sex marriages, as Lithuanians with a British partner would not be able to do so, and such a couple would have to travel to the UK. The service is available at UK consulates in Australia, Azerbaijan, Bolivia, Cambodia, Chile, China, Colombia, Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Japan, Kosovo, Latvia, Mongolia, Montenegro, Nicaragua, Peru, the Philippines, Russia, San Marino, Serbia, and Vietnam. So if you're a gay couple, all you got to go to is the UK embassy in Vilnius or any of these other countries, and you can be legally wed. Now, this next little article is a little lengthy, but I thought I'd share it with you. Russian sanctions impact asset fund flows. Okay? Now, remember, Lithuania does most of its trade, regardless of what we'd like to think, with Russia. The imposition of Western sanctions on the Russian economy has been discussed and analyzed in many places. The direct impact on the energy and banking sectors are well known. The indirect impacts, however, are more difficult to evaluate. we take a look at the asset management industry, or as shortened it to the AM industry, which has already experienced some noticeable shifts. In this respect, the recent launch of new composite share indices by Morgan Stanley provide a good opportunity to analyze industry features and, more precisely, how a firm grasp of the financial architecture can be useful in understanding how financial decisions might be levered into policy tools. The objective here, of course, is not to discuss whether sanctions are the best available method to solve the East-West crisis going on, especially started since the Ukraine crisis, but to shed light on the indirect way the financial sector is impacted. Let's review how the AM industry works. To simplify it, much of it is split into two broad business models, each following either a passive or active investment style. Passive investment styles stem from the idea that financial markets are relatively efficient in the sense that all information is available to the public. Therefore, an individual investment manager doesn't have insider information and can't, on average, over a certain period of time, achieve better investment performance than that is provided by a passive investment in the S&P 500 index, for example. In other words, an investor can't beat the market. The best possible investment strategy, in this view, thus consists of approximating the market of investment securities. This is done through formulating an index that reflects the market. The asset manager then chooses stocks to replicate this index and would then work to minimize the risk of deviation from it. This index is then considered to be a benchmark for the asset manager and is disclosed or promoted as the manager's performance target to the investor. In other words, that's how it's pitched. The second type of manager is the so-called active investment manager. They believe that there exist market deviations from the fundamental share value, financial anomalies that can be exploited by skilled and well-informed investors. In other words, they're partially stock pickers. Of course, this presumes that one can pin down the fundamental value of an asset, which does not really make sense from a purely economic viewpoint, as valuations by nature are subjective. Incidentally, this year's American Financial Association meeting includes an interesting exchange about anomalies and bubbles between last year's Nobel laureate Robert Shiller. And if you've been paying attention to the news, you know that the market just went to heck this week. Lars Hansen and Eugene Farma. The video is available at www.afacg.org. It's an interesting view to see how Nobel laureates might disagree about terms such as the meaning and definition of bubbles. Back to our active versus passive investment management story. Active managers typically manage alternative investment funds and are often registered in offshore territories. The recent Alternative Investment Fund Managers Directive actually aims at attracting some of those funds to Europe by providing better access to European fund markets, provided some risk guidelines are followed. Most active managers don't replicate a benchmark. However, some commit themselves to achieving absolute investment return targets. For example, they promise investors a return of, say, 5% or maybe 6%. Whatever the market situation is, nonetheless, most assets are managed by fund managers who follow a passive investment style. Now, if you look at the total numbers, approximately 71% are standard funds, which means that they are more or less passive investors that replicate indices created by financial service providers. Now, if you remove Russia, the indices that are used as benchmarks by passive investors are created by different service providers such as Morgan Stanley and Standard & Poor's. The Dow Jones is perhaps the most well-recognized. Morgan Stanley offers one of the major indices under the title Morgan Stanley Capital Indices, or MSCI. Now, there exist different kinds of indices for different kinds of markets. For instance, MSCI All Countries is a weighted average of different indices in the world, the latter reflecting total stock market valuations. MSCI All Countries is a natural benchmark for an internationally diversified investor. The Emerging Market Index, however, is a weighted average of stock market valuations in emerging markets. This index would thus be ideal for an investor investing in emerging markets. Now, you know, some of you might be getting a little bored by this, but because of what's been happening in the world lately, it's important that you get a grasp of this. As already alluded to, recently MSCI launched new versions of its composite MSCI, All Country and Emerging Market Indices, which exclude Russia. This is because sanctions against Russia have changed some investors' sentiment. There is a growing demand among passive investors for indices that exclude Russia, given the potential negative impact of EU and US sanctions on the Russian market. Sanctions have had an impact on how investors view Russian investments. Performance results show that the MSCI and EM Eastern Europe, with the Russian shares excluded, has a better performance than does the index, which includes Russian shares. The impact of this decision to create more ex-Russia indices is potentially huge, especially considering that the value of assets under passive management is overwhelming. Before the creation of these new indices, excluding Russia, managers that had as a benchmark an index where Russia was included were forced to invest in Russian securities. They now have the freedom to avoid the Russian market completely. In addition, as the number of ex-Russia indices started increasing in July, this should have been met with a net outflow of cash out of the Russian stock market, putting downward pressure on the ruble, and in many cases it did. Currently, other service providers such as Standard & Poor's have not yet opted for the creation of ex-Russia indices. If other market players were to move in that direction, that might put huge negative pressure on Russian stock market valuations. However, the structural shifts in terms of costs and business models are worsening the situation for the Russian market. In fact, if an investor believes that markets are efficient, then why should he/she invest in a market fund, in a managed fund that charges a fee, sometimes up to 1% of assets, even though the theory says it is impossible to do better than the market itself? It is simpler to directly replicate the market index with so-called tracking algorithms, or by buying a fraction of the relevant stock market capitalization. Given the demand for those products, the financial sector has innovated by creating funds that track stock market indices at a much lower fee, around 25 basis points, or less than 0.25% of assets under the management. Moreover, the shares of those funds are traded on stock exchanges, and the funds are called exchange-traded funds, or ETFs. You've all heard of ETFs. You probably have some if you work for a big corporation. This has led to an explosion of the ETF market, attracting huge inflows. BlackRock Asset Management, a leader in this market, recently noted that over recent months, there has been an increase of investment flows into emerging markets. The increasing size of these ETF markets has led to greater leverage for change in the index composition. According to BlackRock, cumulative asset inflows into equity ETFs were $248 billion in 2013. And so far, $171 billion up to date in 2014. This gives an idea of the potential market movement the changes in index composition might kickstart. If the situation in Russia were to worsen, other index providers might join in the creation of ex-Russia indexes, which would add pressure on its economy. Okay, well, I hope that made some sense to you. I know that I'm invested in the market, and this week was one heck of a ride. Thank God this yesterday turned out to be a little better, it seems. But we're going to take this last couple of minutes here to take this opportunity to remind you that KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, which you're listening to right now, and I, Kestutis Davidus, will be on the air. That is, we will be on the air for at least another few months, at least looking into the new year, probably into February, but we need your help to stay on the air. And your help is money. We need your checks. So, please send a check to Independent Lithuanian Radio here at 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's Independent Lithuanian Radio, 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard. I'm going to give you one more chance to get a pen so you can write it down. Put it on your checkbook. Write that check out for whether it's $10 or $100. All of it counts. To Independent Lithuanian Radio here at 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, 90404. That's Independent Lithuanian Radio, 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, here in Santa Monica, 90404. We always appreciate your support. We know there's a few people we haven't thanked in the last couple weeks, but we'll catch up with that. And we hope you continue listening as long as we stay on the air. Once again, Independent Lithuanian Radio, 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90404. And we hope you're listening again next week. Laišką iš pavasario, iš vaikystės krepinti žiedais. Pasakyk, ar skaudžiai yra ašaros, meilė virtos vien pernais. Aš pamenu dabar tikrai, kokie mes buvome seniai, po šiltą pievą dūkdavom ilgai. Susivėlę ir basi, laimingi garsiai krikšdami, nerūpestingai vaikiški visai. Bet greitai tiksi laikrodžiai ir skiriasi visi keliai, belieka aidas tik senų dainų. Metus išduoda veidrodžiai, o kaip linksmai praleida juos, jie tavo sruogose.